You'll notice that the Word of God says this. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him and from Judea. Father, thank you for being Lord. Thank you for being, for establishing your holiness on your holy days. Help us to follow you. Bless this time, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing. I'm going to preach something today. I'm going to call it How True Worship Heals the Withered. How True Worship Heals the Withered. If you're like me, you know, I was sitting there, I got to laughing. You don't take much to get me tickled, but I was sitting there thinking, man, I sure need a nap. I don't know. I was up a little bit late and up early, which that's my normal, but I was just feeling a bit tired, but it just a thought crossed my mind, and so I was laughing, praising God to myself about it, but thank God there'll be rest. But I trust this will be timely, and the way I envision it is going to be brief. So if you're one of those that if the temptation is common, that somebody else is tired too, I'm trusting the Lord to speak to you in a mighty way, in a short fashion. Because long doesn't mean powerful. It doesn't have to be long to be meaningful. So we just want to be helpful. You know, in this passage here, you know, Jesus is always moving in the Bible. And he enters into the synagogue. And because I'll tell you, my main thought comes from verse number 4. Because Jesus comes to the temple and it says, in verse 1 rather, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Now, he didn't bring in the man with the withered hand. He went into their religious gathering. If you're taking notes, I called number one just Jesus entered the religious temple. Jesus entered the religious temple. And so, and I wrote down the synagogue was the place where the Jews performed their most sacred and serious acts of worship. This is what the synagogue was. So Jesus entered into this place where allegedly his religious followers were committing or performing their most sacred religious acts. And in the midst of that, he sees someone that has a withered hand. And when I think of withered, you know, the definition of withered is faded, dried, or shrunk. When I think of withered, I think of something that started out in a good state and actually began to get weaker. And so here Jesus is entering into an establishment to where you would think that since this is where the most holy and most powerful things take place, but he finds some deficiency there. And you would think this would be met with praise. This would be met with adoration. Hey, Jesus is here. Jesus is in the midst. But as Jesus entered in this religious temple, there was something withered there. And I was thinking about this. You know, all of us have our own synagogues. You know, for me, of course, I believe the Bible. And I believe that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. I believe that that God has ordained the church in a special way. But each person here, you have a place to where you perform your most serious and sacred religious acts. It may be in church. It may be in your personal time. It may be during the week. But whatever relationship you have with God, there is something in your life, a part of your life, where with you and God,
you think this is the most important thing. And Jesus would like to enter into all our religious space, and if there's any deficiencies, he'd like to help us. Now, number two, and we looked at this a little bit, the unfulfilled needs in the temple. The unfulfilled needs in the temple. And so we brought that out. There was a man there who's withered. He's faded. The master question up there so loud, but has there ever been a time in your Christian life where you shine brighter for Christ in his name than you do right now? And if not, maybe if you're shining at your peak, maybe there's someone here that has faded a little bit, that's withered a little bit. And so Jesus would like to enter in. He's in. Well, he's here already because I trust two or three gathered together in my name. I hope all of us aren't here just by religious obligation. I'm trusting we came for the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus has a desired thing he would like to accomplish here today. And so within the temple, Jesus finds unfulfilled needs there. Then, number three, I call this the watching of Christ instead of worshiping of Christ. And verse 2 it says, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Now this is rather amazing the more you think about it. Because Jesus is in the house. Jesus has come to church. He's come to the synagogue. There is, and the people there know that Jesus has the power to help someone that has a deficiency. But they're watching him instead of worshiping him. And I wrote a note like this, based upon their, catch this, because really, I know you think I'm kidding, but we're almost done. Based upon their preconceived understanding of what they believed to be right, it was not right for Jesus to manifest himself as Lord in this circumstance or situation, even if it meant one of their brothers had to continue without being whole. Let me say that again. Based upon their preconceived understanding of what they believed to be right, it was not right for Jesus to manifest himself as Lord in this circumstance or situation, even if it meant one of their brothers had to continue without being whole. Because we all have our sacred places now. And what was happening here, they had a religious, they had an idea of how God was supposed to act. And they knew Jesus, they knew Jesus was here, and they knew he had the power to help one of their brothers, because it says there was a man there, that he needed to be made whole, that he had a withered hand. And they watched him because, you know what? Now, if he actually heals him right now, that's just not the way I don't think God's supposed to work. And they're watching him just to see, basically ready to jump on his case if he actually didn't do things the way that they wanted them to be done. And they actually would rather, and they preferred that their brother there with the withered hand stay withered, rather than Jesus exercising himself as Lord in their life in this situation, because they were there. This is where they performed their most religious and sacred acts. And so they did not want Jesus to be Lord in this situation, because we know he's withered, because it was obvious that he was there, because notice what it says here in verse number 3, and he saith unto the withered hand, and he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. So he's one of them. So he separates him. He said, I want everybody to see him, because he wanted to be clear. Everybody said, no, there's a real legitimate need right now. And so Jesus separated him so everybody could see this is their brother. This is, because he's in the synagogue. He's one of the Jewish brothers, and they're watching. And some of them are whole, I would imagine. Everybody didn't say they all had withered hands. And he says, stand forth. And the only thought they can think about is that, you know what? If he didn't do this the way I think he ought to do this,
man, we're gonna get him.
Is that right? That's pretty much what he's saying.
Yeah.
So they're watching him. They're not worshiping him. Because there should be something about him. You know, anybody believe in a literal hell? I mean, you don't have to. You know, a literal hell, that means that people without, they're lost, they actually die and go there. You know, I wish you weren't that way. And many people, I think, sometimes trying to deny their faith because it's easier to live a life if you deny that than to have to face reality and to actually feel like you have some, that you actually have some degree of responsibility in trying to help people not to go. I mean, and I say to say this, you would think there have been some part of them that say, you know, we know what these religious laws are, but would you just have mercy on the guy with the withered hand? But there wasn't that desire for mercy. They really wanted Jesus to stay limited to what their religious system rather than just exercise himself as Lord. Now, we in verse 5, we read it. Number 4, the question Christ wants answered. In verse 4, he says, "And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil? To save life, or to kill?" But they held their peace. You know what he's really saying? You know, anybody believe God is good? So he's saying, is it right for me to be good in any and every situation? Yeah, I mean, that's what he's saying. Because he's asking them. Because they're sitting there. All they can think about is that the religious Sabbath laws and, you know, we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. And to us, it seems like it'd be work to do good on the Sabbath day. And so he wants to, is it right? Is it lawful to do good? Basically, okay, the Bible says that God is love. And so is it right for God to manifest his love in any and every situation, even if it contradicts their religious faithfulness, whatever you might say? I was thinking about this because you said it's lawful to do good. Well, tell me, what are some good things you can do? That you think, what are some good things we can do to honor God? Pardon me? Spend time in His Word. For others, what's some good thing we can do for other people? Self-compassion? Pardon me? Cook for them? Feed the hungry? Oh, sorry.
Listen
a little. Listen, amen, yeah. Nice to have somebody listen to you when you got woes going on. Preach the gospel, no chance. Oh yeah, amen. What else? Love your enemies? Okay. What else good can we do for others? Okay, if you see him have a need, you have the means, meet the need, you know. And the Bible says even before yourself, let you esteem other better than yourself, so you really should meet their need before you take care of their own need.
Pray for them.
Pray for them, all right. Pardon me? Do good things for them. We're looking specifically for the good things, though. That's right, but what we're listening to good things there. Clean for them, is that what you said? Yeah, amen. We're not making an obligation list, right? Just so you know. Okay, the reason I say this, okay, now let's think about this now. Okay, we said, have compassion. Okay, was that the first one? Okay, now, all of us, if we're honest, we have some religious boundaries to which we believe we'll show compassion. So we have a way to where, well, I should say there's a possibility, because I won't say all of it, there's a possibility that we have boundaries regarding compassion. That we believe, okay, that we can have compassion, but unless it falls into this category, we won't have compassion. Because this is what was happening in the temple. I don't think they thought it was wrong to heal the guy with the withered hand.
But based on religious belief, even though the Lord was present, they said, no, not this situation, not right now. Somebody, okay, praying for somebody, okay. Who was second? What'd you say? Were you second? It don't matter. We'll go clean. Somebody help me in a second. So it's all right to clean for somebody unless you feel like, unless they offended you or something, or whatever. Just think whatever your religion, whatever your boundary would be in that situation, you know. To provide, if they have a need and you meet the need, well, what if they crave the need themselves? What if their own stupidity created the need? Should you still, if you still have the means, should you meet that need? Yeah, because that's what God does for us. But I'm saying these are the type of things we can establish boundaries for. We say, well, yeah, I will do good, but I don't think it's lawful to do good in this situation. I'll preach the gospel, but in this situation, I know they need Christ, but I don't think this is the appropriate time. And did you notice I don't think this is the appropriate time? Now, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. But sometime or another, they got to hear it from somebody. Pray for them. Well, I pray for them, but man, they just really, you know how they just treated me? You know what they just did for me? I would pray for them, but you know how they offended me? What's some other thing to say? Listen. But it's the same story every time. What? I'm tired of listening. But that's part of then you set a boundary because you have to listen. What else was it? Anybody? Did we get them all? I guess you get the point I'm making. And so basically, there was good that needed to be done. But the religious people decided in and of themselves, this is the way that good has to be practiced. And so they were willing for good to take place, but only if it followed within their own personal boundaries that they had set. And this happened because they didn't worship Christ. Because if they worshiped Him, because if you look back at a few verses, in the previous chapter, and I won't go through the whole detail here, but the Pharisees again were complaining because the disciples ate with, I think, unwashing hands. But the end result here, that may be a different passage, but he talked about David. You know, he said, you know what David did when they needed the showbread? They ate it because they were hungry. And Jesus, the end result is, in verse 27, he said unto them, the Sabbath, basically, or holy day, was not made for man. Holy things and good things were not made for man to govern. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So good is not made for man to determine the administration of it. It's determined for God to be the Lord over it. So when we need to listen, when God wants us to listen, we need to listen, no matter how many times we've heard it. When God wants to have compassion, we have compassion. No matter how many times we have compassion. When God wants us to meet a need, cook for somebody, clean for somebody, we do it. No matter how many times no matter what we think about the situation, we do what the Lord wants us to do because He's the Lord over what goodness is. And if we really recognize that, if we're born again, guess what? Every situation we stepped into, Jesus entered the situation. Is that right? So Jesus entered the synagogue. So every situation in life, if you're born again, you step into it, Jesus just stepped into it because Christ is in you. And so in that situation, when there's a need for good, there's someone with it there, there's a need that's there, okay, the Lord must be worshipped. Okay, Father, you put me in this situation. How would you like Jesus to be manifested in this situation through me? We did the question, but I wrote down under four the question, but he wants to answer. Here's the opportunity for the compassion. Is it right for Jesus, the Son of God and Savior, to manifest His goodness to someone in need, even if it does not agree with my personal religious beliefs. There's a good possibility we have a misunderstanding in that situation, especially if we recognize, because think about this, they knew what Jesus was going to do. Now, this is important now, because this was not just something they concocted in their head. They knew that since Christ was present, they knew what he wanted to do. And so this was not some crazy religious idea. They knew enough about the character of Jesus Christ that he had compassion, and that in this situation, he was going to manifest the reality of who he was, which was love itself. And they still were mad. But in John 16, and here's the reality of the time they live in, because he's asking the question. He said, he's preparing us. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They should put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. I mean, this is the reality that was manifesting there. And we see that this is taking place in the world right now. There are people killing other people, thinking they're doing God a service. And they thought, you know, I'm going to leave my brother here withered because it'll honor God. I mean, that's kind of crazy when you think about that. But that's exactly what was happening. And it did not. And so they thought they were doing service to stifle the Lordship of Christ. You know, God didn't leave us up to our personal interpretation to do what he wants us to do. And last thing I want you to notice in Mark 3 and verse number 6, it says, this is when Jesus leaves the temple. It says, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. Now this is the heartbreaking part, because Jesus withdraws himself. Because Jesus is coming to the temple. He said, there's a great need here. And he sees all these religious people here looking at the need. And they say, Lord, Lord, I'd rather you just leave my brother here withered than you to break my religious tradition, my way of doing things. So basically, Lord, I'd rather you leave him sick than you to be Lord over my beliefs. You know, the reason why we can't help a lot of people sometimes, because we set our own doctrine instead of letting God be the Lord, you know, of what we think, you know. Because really, what principles do govern your life, really? And what principles govern my life? Is it the Lord himself, or do I glory in my own personal understanding rather than really know that I'm submitted in my thinking to let God be Lord over that? Because, see, I believe the Pharisees thought they were doing the right thing. I believe they had convinced themselves they were so secure in their religious formality that they really believed it was the right thing to do to not let the Son of the living God be Lord and help somebody in need in order to keep their laws in check. And we read it in John 16, that people, the time will come that people will kill believers in Christ thinking they do God's service. And here it is. Jesus says, no, that's... And he said, the Son of Man, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. And when we believe on Christ, he's meant to be the Lord of our lives. And our lives, this body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, is the grounds by which Christ is manifested to any and all people. And we have to make sure we're not the ones that say, you know what, when Christ is here, and again, we said that if you're born again, where's Christ? If you're born again, where is Christ? Inside of you. So that means, it's okay, Christ is in the temple, so then the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, which is a holy day. And the Bible says that when you're born again, you're a royal generation, a holy priesthood, So believe it or not, you may not feel holy because, and see, again, we have so many confused ideas of what holiness is. And we've tried to make you understand that when you're born, you're holy because you're unlike anything else except what you have the characteristics born in you of your father. So now you have a nature of your father in you the moment you're born. That's true. And so you're holy. You're set apart. You have a distinct father. With the moment you're born, it's unquestionable that you have. This is even better. You know, when you're born, you know what one thing is for sure? You have one father. Are you with me? That's good news, by the way. So, if you accept that, then okay, you're holy. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. So now, Jesus is Lord over holy things. And so any situation we step into, that's why we have these simple, powerful verses in the Bible, like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which I can't quote at this moment. Somebody started. Yeah. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and me shall direct thy path. He shall direct thy path. I'm sorry. I was quoting the modern living version, or the current living version, you know, because isn't it amazing how you can acknowledge him, but you still direct your path, and how I can acknowledge him and I still direct my path? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. God said, don't even lean to direct toward your own understanding. Why? Because if you are born again, he's the Lord. Because he knows that when you and I lean on understanding, we begin to have the say-so over how Christ can operate not only in our lives, but in the lives of other people. Because that's exactly what happened. They said, Christ, you're not supposed to operate like this in our presence. And you're not supposed to operate on him like that in our presence. And so when he asked him the question, he said, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or do evil? To save life or to kill? They held their peace. They didn't want to answer. And he was angry because, you know, he's grieved. He's thinking, how in the world could your heart be so hard that you would miss that the very reality of the fact that I'm walking here with you is the very manifestation of the grace, the mercy, and the love of God. And how could you be so hard of heart to think that I would not want to manifest that nature to anybody I would come in contact with? And so they watched him. And because they watched him instead of worshiping him, the reason I say true worship heals the withered, the reason the man's hand was withered, because Jesus worshipped the Father. And he was going to do what the Father said, no matter what. But the reality is, after that took place, it says, we read it, verse 6, the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians how they might destroy him. And so Jesus was forced to withdraw himself because it was not his time. And if he stayed there at that moment, he would be limited on the amount of people that he was supposed to help while he was on the face of the earth. They limited him in the synagogue, but he still had other places he could go. They limited him within their temple. God would like us to recognize that, you know, we have a great opportunity to help those that are withered. But it doesn't come by us watching to see if Christ is going to operate according to our personal expectations. It comes by the recognition that the Lord himself, if you're born again, that the Lord himself lives inside of me. And he really ought to be Lord. And I should let him use me to help those withered people around me. And whenever there's one in your presence. And again, when withered and faded. I mean, anybody, like I said, all of us probably know some believer, even if it be the one in the mirror, that their light doesn't shine as bright as it used to. But if we're not careful, we will set the parameters by which that withered person can be restored. We'll say, well, I'm not going to be the one to try to guide them back.
I'm not going to be the one to try to lead the way back to them. They made their own bed hard. Let them lie in it. Where's the compassion of that? Where's the grace of God that says, because remember, Jesus was the one that said, stand forth. So if right now you know somebody that's withered, Jesus has just said to you, stand forth. And he set that person, well, he set them stand forth. You know, I think you know what I mean. He set that person apart in your mind in their withered condition. And he's asking you right now, can he work in his temple? On his holy day, which is basically the day he appointed to restore that person his whole. And you know, he'll be quite heartbroken if you really can't give him an answer. Because he's thinking, well, you sit here whole through the blood and the merit of Jesus Christ, and you're not sure about giving me free rein to help someone that you clearly see is withered. My God, you know, there are really opportunities in any situation like for God to use us, and he really does want to use us. And so I just encourage you to pray, and just, you know, really, because, you know, ask God, you know. And you might just say, God, am I allowing you to be Lord? And you really don't have to ask him to do that, really, because most of us know by now who's running our life. And the great thing is about that, when we allow God, we'll see new vision, because we'll see, oh, wow, there's a withered person. That Jesus is here, because if you're born again, he's with you. That Jesus is here that has the power to heal. Can you imagine if somebody cried in the crowd when Jesus asked the question, heal him, Lord, have mercy! But no, they said, well, you know, I'm not sure if that, you know, I'm not sure if you ought to do that today. You know, it's the Sabbath day, you know, we're trying to be sanctified in here. We're trying to be dignified, you know. So we're supposed to act spiritual. So I don't know if you ought to heal somebody today. You know, Lord, I've kind of got my, you know, Father, in Jesus' name, I believe you're here. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray. I thank you so much for healing me on so many different occasions. I probably can't even count the number of times I've been in your temple withered, and you set me apart, and you've touched me again and again and again and again. And Lord, I thank you for the mercy that you've given me for the different times in my life where I really was unwilling for you to work through me to help somebody in a withered condition, because I just predetermined that, you know, that's just not how you operate. Forgive me of the times, my Father, that I was the Lord of my own way. And Lord, I pray for every born-again child of God here today that they can sincerely offer themselves up to you and just submit themselves to your Lordship. They can just with a sincere heart say, Father, just guide me. Father, I'm willing. Father, you've showed me some people right now that are withered. And Lord, I've been just wanting to do my own thing. I've had my religious routine figured out. And I've been committed to staying with my religious routine more than being moved out of my religious routine to help someone that's withered. God, would you forgive me and just, would you move right now through me to help some precious withered soul? And maybe here today, and Father, would you touch some heart today that does not know you? Would you somehow allow them to catch the magnitude of the love of God that how He really wants to use every single one of your children to bring them unto You. And Father, if they've been here lost today, help them not to see, to get lost of Your great love by what they see in us. But help them to be immersed in the reality of Your great love by what You have said in Your Word. Though our lives are sometimes deniable, I pray You'll turn any lost soul to the undeniable truth of the Word of God. And would You use Your Holy Spirit, my Father, to bear witness in their heart right now that, oh, You love them. And, oh, You'd like to capture them for You. And, oh, You want them to know You and to love You. Father, please manifest Yourself to where some lost soul would turn from their sin to trust You. And, oh, my Father, help all of us, those of us who are Your children, to realize how much You really just want us to walk with You. I thank You and praise You for the great invitation that You've given us all, my Father. Thy will be done.